day five of Savannah Guthrie's mother being missing. We played a longer clip of the mother, or Savannah Guthrie and her two siblings, pleading with the person who, basically the person who took her, said, you know, we need proof that she's alive and we're willing to talk and we'll do, where our family's ready to talk and do whatever it takes to make sure she's returned home safely. And we do want to talk to our official attorney, Lisa Lanier. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, what a terrible situation, and to have it play out in front of the whole world like this.
It doesn't feel real at all. It does not feel real.
I mean, stuff like this happens every day, but we don't feel intimate with the person the way we do with someone that's on television.
Right.
And so it feels close to us. You know, it feels like a friend or almost a loved one if you're a really big fan. You know, it's weird and terrible. And, you know, it's like you guys said, you know, the family, I mean, it's just gut-wrenching to watch their plea. And you've got all these people, opportunistic people, who I think are probably trying to cash in on this situation, because three different ransom notes have appeared now, one at a CBS affiliate that is near where the family lived in Tucson, and the other at the CBS. So CBS, ABC, and then TMZ got one.
Oh, so you're saying three possible fake ransom notes from people that just are trying to get...
We don't know, right? Yeah. We don't know if it's a real ransom note or not. And that's really what prompted the family to go public with this announcement saying, look, if this is legit, you got to show us some signs of life, which is, you know, horrible. But they don't know whether to take these seriously or not. Law enforcement, I think, is pretty stumped here. I mean, although, you know, we're going to talk about the Ashley Banfield accusation, you know, that the brother-in-law is a person of interest or prime suspect. But I don't know, you know, that got walked back so hard by the sheriff's department. So it's just a big mess.
Are they sometimes walking it back and doing these different things because they have more to the story than we know, and they don't want to release it because it could tip off the person that maybe kidnapped her?
Well, you know, when Ashley Banfield, she went on her podcast, Drop Dead Serious, and she, you know, she said that that the brother-in-law was this prime suspect. And they immediately issued a press release, a statement that said, we don't have any suspects, right? So we don't even have a person of interest. But it could be, you know, then she doubled down, Ashley Banfield, she doubled down and said, oh, no, I've talked to people at the highest level of confidant, I guess. So, I mean, or in the highest levels, so not the actual sheriff probably, but somebody, she implied it was somebody in the upper ranks of law enforcement.
And she's been a reporter for years. Like, she knows loose with this stuff.
Yeah.
But what if she was loose with this stuff?
Yeah, what if she is? You know, like, and now the entire world is looking at him at a time where it's incredibly difficult to know what's right and what's not. And then now you're being pointed out as the person of interest.
Yeah, and then if she did that, is she open herself up to a lawsuit?
You know, it's pretty rare for news reporters because the level of culpability goes way, way up. The bar is really, really high to be able to show defamation against a news person. You have to show that they acted with actual malice, that they sort of, you know, intentionally lied about you. And here where she has a source, and I don't doubt that she has a source. I mean, she doubled down the next day after the sheriff's announcement and said, you know, I have an informant at the highest level source within the department. That was her quote. And so she's all but naming that person's name. And so I think what you know, often happens is law enforcement speaking among themselves, you know, they will, you know, be sort of sitting around and saying, oh, yeah, you know, I think it's the son-in-law. That's who, you know, we really need to look at. And then somebody's called her up or, you know, she's called them up, whatever, and told them that. Are they officially the prime suspect? No, not necessarily. That's a whole other kind of, you know, level that they don't name somebody as a prime suspect until they really have a lot more evidence. It's premature to name someone as a prime suspect. But internally, heck yeah, they talk about that kind of thing.
Well, Lisa,
who's our number one person right now?
Can I ask you,
the son-in-law.
So instead of maybe placing the blame on Ashley
Banfield.
What about if there is somebody in law enforcement who's at the top who is giving her that information does that person get in trouble?
Oh, probably. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure once she released her statement on her podcast, and then when she doubled down and said highest level sources within the department, I'm pretty sure the sheriff was banging some heads to find out.
Sure.
Yeah. And what if we find out, this is a big one, what if we find out that she was paying to get this information? That's why they leaked it. Somebody leaked it because she wants the information to get her podcast or whatever she's on to be wildly popular.
Well, everybody wants to be first,
right?
You know, whether they're right or not.
So is that, you know, if she was paying somebody, can she get in trouble? Can the person that she was paying get in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, if it's someone within the sheriff's department, which is what she implied, then they would be in trouble if they took money to leak information. And I'm sure she didn't do that. I mean, she's a very legitimate journalist. And really, the people that, you know, sort of the entities that you see paying for stories are more like the tabloids, and they'll pay for photographs.
Right, like TMZ does it all the time.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, what's the
TMZ or like the Inquirer,
what's the motive of the sheriff's department? What's the motive of the sheriff's department to leak it? Or somebody in there?
Yeah, it could just be that they, you know, they were just interviewed. You know, I mean, they didn't even think about it. Sometimes, I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, like in our sex abuse litigation, we call up, you know, investigators all the time. And some of them are just really free speakers. You know, they just
if I was in law enforcement, I'd be like, did you hear?
Lips, yeah.
We think it's so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I would not be good at
doing
that.
Even when I tell myself I'm not going
to
say it, I'm
It's so hard not to.
But I know things.
I got the juice. Now, what is your gut on this, Lisa, just as a person and with all your history with, you know, being in the legal system of Nancy Guthrie? I mean, what do you think this outcome is most likely
like
to
being
be?
Found?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think my expertise is about 5 million hours of true crime.
Yes.
Right.
Same, Lisa.
Right.
And I really think, you know, I think it's always the person, it's somebody connected to them, familial. I mean, it, you know, almost always is. Or if it's not familial, it is someone close to the family. I mean, it's somebody who, you know, I think knew the security system situation, probably knew the layout of the house. And, you know, motive is usually somebody that knows something about the finances or the, you know, or something, has some emotional connection to the family. So it is. I mean, it's almost always somebody like that. It's very rare that it's a random stranger type person. Now, they are looking. They're looking at somebody who was charged with trespassing in the neighborhood recently. You know, they're looking at other people like that. But somebody like that usually is not going to know enough to pull this off smoothly, you know, with the security camera.
And kidnap an 84-year-old. I've never even heard that before.
Lisa, there is, we were talking a little bit earlier about, you probably all already follow her, but she's called the Unexpected Spy, and she's worked for the FBI. And she said that her gut tells her that Nancy Guthrie had been stalked or hunted for a few days to get the routine, know when she's coming and going, figure out, like she just said, this seems to be somebody who has had eyes on her for a little bit.
Yeah, and it could be somebody she knows, right?
Somebody she knows, or at least somebody who's putting in the work to know when she's going
to
be
home.
And yeah.
Oh, and then also we heard,
you know, even
go ahead.
Even when it's not a family member or an acquaintance, it's somebody like who's done work at the house, done work at the neighbor's house or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we did have reports, which are true, that her pacemaker is no longer connected to her iPhone or iWatch or whatever. But also, so at first we're thinking, oh, she died and so it stopped working. But no, they're saying, no, it was left at the house. So once you get a certain distance away, like for all of us, it just disconnects. So Lisa, as always, you just are able to cover everything so well. We appreciate you. If you're ever injured, contact her right away at hireaheavyweight.com. She does a lot more than that, but, like, you know, Lisa's the best. She really is.